Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to commence a further chapter of Office Wife.
I was an absolute idiot last night. Nothing more, nothing less, just an idiot. I came upstairs to Jeff's office after everyone else had gone. And who was there but Marcia Pilgrim? She'd come to collect her brooch from Jeff's desk. I should have known she wanted me to lose my temper, and I did. Instead of getting out as quickly as I could, I stayed and argued the point with her. And the result? Mrs. Marcia Pilgrim has made a complaint. There's nothing poor old Jeff or anyone else can do about it unless I apologize. But that's not all. Marcia has told her uncle about the disappearance of the brooch from the desk. The desk only Jeff and I are allowed to touch. Oh, isn't it sickening? So I'd touch anything of Marcia Pilgrim.
Cheer up, Stella. It's not as bad as all that.
Oh, the suspense is awful. Why doesn't Mr. Bendigo get here?
I know. I've had him, too. A sort of fluttering in the tummy.
If only I'd had the brains of a hen last night and not flown into a frenzy with your wife.
If only.
I won't apologize to her, Jeff. There's scarcely a thing I wouldn't do to stay here with you, but not that. Not in a million years.
You'd only have to make a hint. Just so as I could say, Miss Bronson's apologized to Marcia.
No.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Fleming.
Mr. Bendigo's just arrived, Jeff. Ask Miss Bronson to come up at once, will you?
I'd very much like a word with Miss Bendigo first, if it's possible, sir.
Just a minute.
See if I can take the sharp edges off for you, Stella.
All right, Jeff. Come up yourself.
Right away, Mr. Fleming. Well, here we go. I'll do my best. And don't drop your bundle.
One thing I do know, Jeff. I won't eat humble pie for them. Any of them.
All right, Jeff. Take a chair. Now then, both barrels. Marcia tells me on the phone this morning that that topaz brooch of hers disappeared from a drawer in your desk.
I'm afraid that's only too true, sir.
When did you know about it?
I missed it the day before yesterday.
And you kept quiet about it all this time? Why?
I wanted a word with Marcia about it first.
When did you put the brooch in the drawer?
The best part of a week ago. As a matter of fact, I've completely forgotten.
Tell me, Jeff.
Excuse me, Percy. I'll handle this. Now, look here, Jeff. This Bronson girl was insufferably rude to Marcia last night. She has to go. No ifs, buts, or what have yous. She has to go.
I know, sir. I hold no brief for Stella on that count.
You don't? Good. I thought we might have some trouble with you.
But there's still her contract. We can't break her contract because she has a purely personal encounter with Marcia.
Right. Let's get back to the brooch. You put it in your desk. Now it's gone. Bronson's the only person apart from yourself with access to it. I don't think the girl's contract's worth two hoots. Do you?
Now, really, Mr. Bendigo.
Now, look here, old man. I'm not suggesting we should prosecute her.
Prosecute her? Here I say.
The publicity, Jeff. The publicity.
Now, just a minute, gentlemen. In the first place, what with people coming here early and people leaving here late, there's hardly a soul in the firm who hadn't an opportunity to steal Marcia's brooch. And there are the cleaners, coming and going all hours of the night. And the watchmen. And those people up on the top floor we seldom see. Oh, no, no. You can't pin this on Stella Bronson just like that. Call her a thief just to get rid of her.
We're not branding anyone. She just has to leave, that's all. And if anyone's branded her, you have.
Well, how can you possibly arrive at that, sir?
You've not said a word to a soul about the brooch's disappearance except to Marcia. Doesn't that speak for itself? Now go and think it over. And remember, I don't care a continental what your views are or how you feel about your secretary. Out she goes today. That's all. You can send her up here in 10 minutes.
Oh,
Good morning, Mr. Bendigo. Good morning, Mr. Fleming.
You know why you're here, I imagine, Miss Bronson?
I think so.
The circumstances surrounding the disappearance of the brooch belonging to my niece don't look too good. So I'm going to make you a proposition. You have a contract with this
firm. May I interrupt, Mr. Bendigo? You might as well save your breath. Here's your contract. Tear it up yourself. I'll be only too pleased to leave your firm today. If you'd be so kind, you might send a check for my arrears of salary.
No. That's the you're taking a sensible attitude, young woman. There's never been any unpleasantness of this description here before.
I'd like to ask one question. Do you really think I took Mrs. Pilgrim's brooch? Or were you just going to use this incident to get rid of me?
Well, since you're leaving us, Miss Bronson, I don't think we need go into that.
Just as a sporting proposition, Mr. Bendigo, why don't you tell me?
Miss Bronson, if we hadn't made formal inquiries, you'd have been in a very uncomfortable position. You're going. The matter is closed.
Well, there's my answer, isn't it? May I be excused?
Good morning, Miss Bronson.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, Tressida, I hope you're satisfied.
I expect you're going to say we've done the wrong thing.
Not we. You. I feel jolly shabby, Tressida, and that's a fact.
Very well. We shouldn't have used the lever we did. But any time your conscience troubles you, Percy, just remember, that young woman was deliberately trying to get my nephew-in-law away from Master and wreck his marriage. And to get her out of the picture, I consider the end justified the means. That's all I have to say. Are you coming to lunch?
If you'd like to clear off Stella, I'll collect your things. Leave them at your place.
It's all right. Don't talk to me.
Do I see it, dear?
Please, Jeff, I'm all right.
Come on, duck up. You'll be a lot better off with Benny Puller than you ever were with me.
Oh, hang Benny Puller. Jeff, it won't get about, will it? About my having to leave here because I was suspected of pinching things?
Not from me, it won't.
I suppose I asked for it, though. Serves me right. Falling for my boss and letting Marcia realize it.
Hey, hey, this isn't like you. You're not sorry for yourself, are you, Stella?
No, I am not. Jeff, do something for me. Come out and buy me a drink.
Miss Bronson, I'll do that with pleasure. And before you go, Stella, I want you to know, I consider that played a rotten trick on you. And if I could do anything about it, I would.
That's all right. You're a funny chap. You're almost walking out of here yourself this minute, aren't you?
How right you are.
And yet you're not fond of me, really. You're in love with your wife. Why do you feel so strongly about it?
Because Marcia has taken charge. Through her uncle and his firm, she's done what she's always wanted to do. And I'm not the master in my own household. That's why. Come on, let's get out for that drink. I need it as much as you do.
Jeff, sweetheart, where have you been? I had the most marvelous dinner ready for you. If you'd been 5 minutes later, it would have been ruined. Give me a hat. Yes?
You've heard the good news.
Hmm? Oh, that. I don't have to talk about her. Look, asparagus tips, cauliflower gratin.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I fed on the way home. 2 hamburgers and coffee.
Oh, but Jeff, what on earth for?
Because you and your confounded machinations have made me feel 40 different kinds of a heel, that's why.
But really, darling...
Oh, don't you darling me. For 3 months you have been about as pleasant to live with as a porcupine. Now that you've got your own way, I have had Stella Bronson kicked out and under a cloud of the bargain. You're as sugary as plum
dip. I didn't have her thrown out. She had herself thrown out.
I don't care about Stella going. I don't care 2 pins. What I do object to is having matters taken out of my own hands, and in an underhand fashion as well. You know she didn't even set eyes on that clip or brooch or whatever you call it. Much less pinch the infernal thing.
She was fired for being rude to me last night.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you, Marcia. How the deuce I'm expected to hold down an exacting job under circumstances like these, I don't know.
Maybe now she's gone, you'll be able to give your job some attention.
Meaning I've been giving too much to her?
I don't mean anything. All I know is I'm so delighted you can be cross with me for as long as you like. I don't care.
Come here, Marcia.
I'm here, Arthur.
You think that now Stella Bronson's no longer my secretary, all our problems are solved, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, if only I could make you realize Do you know what you've done? You've used your influence and your position to get the better of me. Your husband. Up till today, this marriage meant something to me, Marcia. Now I'm just another character who's married into money and lets it do his talking for him. Do you understand me?
No, I don't. No. I think you're making a ridiculous mountain out of a molehill. Most men would be glad to change places with you.
All right, have it your own way. But if you think back a year, you'll remember some whispers. Pilgrim knows a good thing when he sees it. Did you see Pilgrim beat off the opposition for Marcia Capehart? Ah, smart cookie, Jeff, Pilgrim. See him go for the easy money.
Oh, Jeff, stop it.
I made up my mind when we were married that I was going to operate under my own steam. All right? I've fallen flat on my face.
Jeff, please. Stella Bronson couldn't have been important to you.
What she stood for was important to me. Well, listen. This time we're going to patch it up. We're going to start all over again, Master. But there's not going to be a second time. Have you got that in your head? There's not going to be a second time.
All right, Jeff. Just say you love me a little. That's all.
I shouldn't. But I do.
Stella Bronson, you've been a childish fool. Being fired was the best thing in the world, only you couldn't see it. You don't have to be a man's secretary to see him once in a while, do you? And I'm going to see him much oftener than that.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.